Let's take out our Bibles and turn to that familiar passage of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. And we'll just read the entirety of the prayer as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And my hope is we keep our Bibles open. I do believe there was an outline as well in the boxes for you to follow along with tonight as well. Let's read this familiar prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. This is God's word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful that you have gathered us together as your people to study your word, and to ponder that part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. Oh, Father, help us by your Spirit to discern your word aright, to speak your word aright, but also, oh, Holy Spirit, to apply your word, and that your word in application upon our hearts would lead to prayer action in our lives. Help us, your servants. We feel the weakness of our flesh. Oh, work, oh, Holy Spirit, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Those words, give us today our daily bread. Now, obviously, we really don't need any more bread as Americans in this country. But yet we have prayed this prayer along with saints from the time, well, before we could remember, actually. Most of us began praying this prayer before we actually could remember. And we hear it frequently again and again and again and again and again. I even remember my opa praying the Lord's Prayer in a Dutch dialect. I had no idea. I knew it was the Lord's Prayer because my father told me it was. But it was a Dutch dialect that was not part of everyday normal experience in a Dutch immigrant household. But I always remember him praying in the way he would pray, in a cadence in his voice, the solemnity of the moment. And he would stop in that part of asking for his daily bread. I remember that house and my oma's cooking. She was no cook, but she was a wonderful lover of people. And that's what I remember most about their table, not the food. I remember his prayer. I remember his prayer. And so when we come to this text, we come with emotion, we come with stories, because it's so familiar. And it's really a text about God, isn't it? It's about God feeding us. Give us today our daily bread. It's about us trusting God. And so I want us to look at our good and giving Heavenly Father, and also to look at our daily need. But let's dive into our good and giving Heavenly Father. Our good God does not want us to be deceived about prayer, about life itself. And James is helpful. The Apostle James, or James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing in James chapter 1, verse 16, says this, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all creation." There's a wonderful grandness in those words as he's calling attention to the church not to be deceived. Do you not know you were born of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know how precious you are to the living God? Do not be deceived. What I want you to see, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that every good thing comes from above. That means everything. Not just some things. Not just the food on your plate, but the plate itself and the fork and the knife and the spoon and the cup and the water in the cup and the oxygen that you're breathing so that you can that you can actually stay conscious. And the heart that's pumping and the digestive system that will then process your food and direct it to the rest of your body. And there's all these other things that are happening. And those are all good gifts, aren't they? And the fact of the matter, when you say every good gift, is there almost any limit to that? Where does that end? I know we don't like to think like this, but we ought to think like this. That every good gift comes from above. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day your good gifts. And what I love that how James, when he's speaking to the church, but how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight, he says, those words are important. Who does not change like shifting shadows? God's good gifts are not accidents, they're purposeful. Everything directed by his sovereign will. Nothing out of place, even if you think it's out of place. Everything that happens to you, right, was not an afterthought. It was a forethought in the mind of God. And so everything, every good gift comes from above. And then you might be saying, where is he going with this? This idea of every good gift. Define for me every good gift. That's the problem, isn't it? What is every good gift? Or everything? What is that? Could suffering be a good gift? Give us this day our daily bread. Now you know the story. Remember the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, murmuring at Meribah. Murmur, murmur, murmur. They were good at murmuring, weren't they? A good complaining light like the rest of us. Oh, oops, that just slipped out. We're just like them, aren't we? And what did God give them in the wilderness in the midst of their murmuring and complaining and rebelling against the leadership of Moses? He gave them manna from heaven. And Moses wanted to remind them, I'll remember before you go into the promised land, before God gives you the prosperity, before he gives you the land of milk and honey, before your vats overflow and your barns are full to the brim, remember, as, and this is what he says, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He says this of their time of murmuring. He humbled you. I want you to remember that. This is Moses in Deuteronomy. That's the second law, Deuteronomy. Onomy or nomos, the second law, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So obviously Moses is warning them not to forget the Lord in the midst of prosperity. When your vats are overflowing, when your barns are full, when the grass on all the hills is green, and your sheep and goats and cattle are fat, don't forget how God provided you manna. But what you really needed was not the bread from heaven. What you really needed is that you needed to live your whole entire life by the word of God. That's the manna you really need. Yes, you needed the physical manna. God provided, didn't he? But I never want you to forget you need the spiritual manna. And who ought we never to forget? Who is the bread that came down from heaven and has now filled our souls with delight? Is that not the Lord Jesus Christ? Is not that the one who gave himself and was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins? Give us this day our daily bread. you could almost say, give me Jesus. Give me more of Jesus. Give me more of the living bread that will never pass away. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me to trust you more. And so every time you're saying that, you're reminding yourself that my paycheck, my house, the ability to pay my electric bill, the carpet, the paint, the cars in the garage or in the pole barn, or the tractors, or the business, or even the place you go to work, and the roads. I mean, it's reminded you constantly that God provides, that you didn't provide this first. Yes, I know. I'm not talking about the government like some others are talking about, but we believe that every good gift comes from above. It comes from God. And so give us today our daily bread is meant to humble our hearts, isn't it? Just like the Israelites before they entered the promised land. It's meant to help us remember, John, everything in your life and your breath is a gift of God. Don't you ever forget it. And when you do, you're in trouble. How often are we in trouble? How often do we forget the good gifts of God? I do it all the time. And that part of the prayer is there to tell me, God, you are the one that gave all these gifts. God, you are the provider. God, you are the sustainer. God, you are the spiritual life in me. Because you gave me your own son, the manna from heaven. That now I can come with to you and say, my Father who art in heaven, give me today my daily bread. And what we do know is that unless the Lord blesses it, it will do us no spiritual good. This is really interesting in the catechism. I want to read in the catechism because I believe they have a wondrous insight of spiritual wisdom for us. And they say, and neither our work, worry, that's unfortunately a big product of our life, nor your gifts, even God's gifts, those good gifts that come down from above, can do us any good without your blessing. Without your blessing. I do love those words from the catechism. Or as the psalmist declares in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Again, it's a check, isn't it, again, on us, on our souls. And a reminder, unless God builds the house, you're laboring in vain. All these good gifts without acknowledging where they come from. Well, it's as if we are not using them well. We're using them not as they were fully intended to be. Because we know as Christians that our life is to be a life of faith, is it not? A life of praise and thanksgiving. We are actually called to praise God all the time and give thanks in all circumstances. When things go well and things do not go well. And those too are good gifts. But it's so easy to neglect that, isn't it? So easy for me. And that's why I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has this here for us. To remind us. That unless God blesses you, unless you're living under the blessing, the blessed countenance of God Almighty, you labor in vain. You build your business in vain. You educate your heart in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. I know many a man that I've talked to, some in business. I remember a man who said, for 20 some years, I labored. I labored in my business to become successful, and I became successful. But I labored in vain. I labored in vain because it was all done for me. Neglecting my family and my children, if it wasn't for my wife, who was a saint, she would have, any other woman would have left me. Still remember that man. Yeah, he was blessed. Everybody in the world would say he was blessed, but he could say for 20 years, I lived a cursed life, even though I was in the church, sat in the pew, served in the Sunday school. I was building in vain. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to hear this word, give us today our daily bread, and just to let it go off us like Teflon, right? Just water off a duck's back. But it's not meant to be that kind of word. Jesus wants these words to grip our hearts, that we would see the goodness of our God in everything, that we would not be deceived by the world that gives us all kinds of things that glitter but are not gold. And in fact, it reorients our hearts to see every good gift is from the Father's hand. It's from our Father's hand. And doesn't our Father give good gifts? Didn't Jesus teach that in Matthew chapter 7? He doesn't give scorpions. He gives good gifts. And what is the greatest gift that he gives? Give us today our daily bread. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, as you find in Luke's account. And our good God, when you pray this little piece, give us today our daily bread, what you are declaring is, my good God is for me. Give us today our daily bread. You are confident that he'll give you that bread, aren't you? You are confident that he loves you and that he's a good father and that he'll never leave you, because when you say, you pray it with confidence, give us today our daily bread. Because you know that he's a good God and he gives good gifts to his children. And you also know that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. I look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. And the word of God is addressing something that we many struggle with. Keep your lives free from love of money. Oh, money, money, money. And be content. I love those words. Contentment was a problem in the first century, and contentment's still a problem in the 21st century. Be content with what you have. My goodness, I live in a culture that says don't be content with what you have. You got to get more stuff so you can put it in a, basically you can put it in another garage somewhere. Or you can have a bigger basement and put it there and don't know what to do with it for 25 years. But he says be content with what you have, because, and here's the reason you, brother and sister, can be content and I can be content, because, I love those becauses in the Bible, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, so we say with confidence, I love that language, don't you? And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can mortal man do to me? That's Psalm 56. So how can I be content? How can I keep my heart free from the love of money and a lack of contentment that's so systemic in our culture? That's what's systemic, a lack of contentment. How can I keep my heart from that? Well, I believe the word of God is very clear that you and I need to herald to our own hearts that God will never leave me. What do we know about money? And what do we know about possessions? How quick do they stay? I mean, you build a house and it starts cracking, right? Things start going wrong. You have to call in the contractor anyhow, probably to fix something that you built and you thought it was going to be shiny new. But right away, everything starts falling apart, because that's the way the world works, right? And money, it's here today and gone tomorrow, easy come, easy go. There she goes. It's fleeting, isn't it? But why do we love money? What does it provide for us? Security, doesn't it? Power. These are the things that really drive that. Deeper down, control. Well, money can be about control, can't it? If you have the money, you can control maybe the outcome of your life. You can live in comfort and not in stress. But the thing is, all of these realities, this security and power and control, they're mirages. They don't last, do they? Like our bodies, they don't last. One day we'll fly away. But will it be to everlasting life or everlasting damnation? Where will the angels bring us? No, it's the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, that will never leave, right? That's a love that will never leave us nor forsake us. It will stay with us to the very end of the age. A love that will always be there. And where is our treasure to be anyhow? Where do we store up our treasure? In heaven, right? Where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. We store up our treasures in heaven. So give us today our daily bread. Oh, Heavenly Father, keep my heart content. Keep me from the love of money. Keep me, may the wealth of my life be found in Jesus Christ, and may I be storing up treasures there in heaven that can never pass away. Give us today our daily bread. Because those are the riches, aren't they? Have you been made rich in Christ? Who became poor for you that you might become rich? I know you don't think you're rich, maybe. You're sitting there, I'm not rich. But you're rich, aren't you? You're rich in God's love. You're rich in an inheritance. An inheritance that, wow, to rule and reign with Christ over all things is something else. What's that going to be like? That means I'm rich, doesn't it? So where ought I be to be storing my treasures? Well, I want my daily bread to be from God. I want that daily bread to be Christ Himself. I want that daily bread to be the helper. And it's interesting, my helper, what do we know about our helper? Who is our helper? The Paraclete is our helper, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is our helper. But who else is our helper? Actually, Jesus Himself was the Paraclete as well. He too is a helper as He's interceding for us even now. Always with us and always giving. Well, He's a good God and He is a giver, isn't He? I think of the psalmist, Psalm 104. I think we should be confident in two. Give us this day our daily bread. We should be confident that God will give good gifts. He says this, these all look to you to give them their food at their proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. It's like you're smiling with all the creatures of creation. God is a good giver. God is a good giver. And it doesn't have to be a lot of stuff, because the greatest gift is Himself. The greatest gift is Himself, that manna that came down from heaven. So our daily need. The proverb says it well. Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 9, talks about need, not want. And this is what the Word of God says. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. And listen to what he says about the two things. First, keep falsehood and lies far from me. I want to be a truth teller. I want to be an honest man. I want to be a woman of integrity. That's what I want to be. I do love that, the two things. The first thing is one of truth. It does make sense as you look at God. God is a God of truth, isn't He? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the first request. And the second request is this. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. You can almost see where Jesus got the quotation from in Scripture, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become too poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. like that middle ground, isn't it? I don't want to be a dishonest man, and I don't want to be a man who thinks I did it my way like Frank Sinatra. You know that song? Oh, that song is so obnoxious. Cannot stand that song. Sorry, I did it my way. Oh, la, 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 la. It's actually profane in every sense of the word. I know it's very American, but it's so profane. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to teach his disciples, his men, his merry men, and those that were listening to the Sermon on the Mount that day, that he wants them, as they pray, "Give us today our daily bread," to develop a God dependency. And don't we need that? Who here doesn't need that? A God dependency. It's not that you shouldn't work, or you shouldn't be responsible, or that you shouldn't go to work, or you shouldn't do school. Please, if you're a student, you're going to do your school. And if your mom says do it, you're going to do it. I think I'm pointing to my kids. So we want that, but this God dependency, I think, is very important. If you're in business, right? You know that you've worked hard. You've made good decisions, possibly, that put you in a place that has brought prosperity. Yet, if your life had not been sustained to this time, you couldn't have made those good decisions because you'd be dead. That said, you were able to make those decisions because God gave you life. He also probably gave you certain models, and he gave you certain people along your path, and he gave you also the opportunity to live in this wondrous nation called the United States of America. I mean, when you've been born here, you hit the lottery. But since we don't believe in a lottery, that everything comes from God's good hand, doesn't matter where you're born, does it? Or what part of the planet, or what time in history. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a good place to be. But it's God dependency. And brothers and sisters, I know what I need more than anything else to slay the pride monster in me. Anybody have the pride monster? Actually, you all do, because all sin emanates from your own pride. Is God dependency. God, I need you for everything. That's what you're saying. I need you for my breath. I need you for my job. I need you for my education. I need you for my thinking. I need you for my emotions. I need you for my community. I need you for all things. And in so doing, God humbles us. And if I need anything more, is humbling. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sounds like God dependency to me. But also, I do believe this prayer, give us today our daily bread. As we experience God's good gifts in answer to prayer, we also ourselves are shaped into givers, aren't we? Because the more we pray that, and the more dependent we become on God himself, and the more shaped by this understanding that all good things come from God, all of a sudden, if you want to emanate and reflect God, you will desire to do what? Be a giver yourself. Because God is a giver. So we reflect his glory in giving. In giving physical sustenance. In giving prayer. In giving emotional support. In giving a hug. But most importantly, in giving the manna from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That bread that came down from heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the bread that you give us, that everything comes from your fatherly hand, that all good things, and some of those good things don't seem good to us in the moment, but you use those and shape those to bring us to a humble state in order that we can pray anew, give us today our daily bread. Oh, Father, humble us in doing so, and also grow in us a greater God dependency and a greater kindness and a greater charity, so that you might be glorified, O giver of all good things, in your people who grow in their desire to not only give mercifully, but also to give Christ compassionately. Oh, Father, hear the prayer of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.